Now that we understand what an unrighteous use of the tongue is, tonight we will learn what an unrighteous use of the tongue does. What does an unrighteous use of the tongue do? The subtitle for tonight's message is The Power of the Tongue. The Power of the Tongue. Turn to James chapter 3. Write this statement down in your notes. The tongue is powerful, and an unrighteous tongue is destructive. The tongue is powerful, and an unrighteous tongue is destructive. We're going to see just how destructive an unrighteous tongue is by looking at James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. We're going to read all 12 verses, and we're going to come back and break them down and explain them as we go. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So let's break down what James is saying in these verses of scripture. James begins by warning that we not be many masters. Now that word masters means teachers. So James starts by saying, don't be too eager to be a teacher in the church. Now you can apply this scripture broadly. It's not just an admonishment for those seeking a formal teaching position in the church. It's also an admonishment for those who set themselves up as reprovers of others. In other words, don't be so quick to set yourself up as the church critic. You know what a church critic is? Always correcting everybody else. Always telling everybody else what to do. He's saying, don't be so quick to set yourself up as a church critic. I know it all. Constantly correcting others. Why? Because if you are a teacher of others, you will be judged by a higher standard. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 2, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, Jesus said, you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. And you will be measured by the same measure you use. So then don't be quick to set yourself up as the church critic. James goes on to say, for we all have stumbled, fallen, and offended. But then he says, the person who does not offend in speech is a perfect man, not sinless. That word perfect means mature. He's saying that a person who is not offensive with their words is spiritually mature, developed in character. And a person who does not offend with their words is able to control their whole body. They are disciplined. In other words, if you can control your mouth, you can control every other part of you. Now, James drives this point home using two examples, a bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder of a ship. And he wants us to understand that a whole horse is controlled by this small bit, that a whole ship is turned by this little rudder, so that the whole body is influenced and turned by the tongue. So if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. James then explains the power of an unrighteous tongue. Let's read verse 5. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He's saying this little part of the body is destructive. He's saying, behold, how great a matter. That word matter means forest. Behold how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. The tongue is like a tiny spark that can burn an entire forest to the ground. Church, an unrighteous tongue is destructive. That brings us to our 3 points for tonight. An unrighteous tongue, point number one, defiles. An unrighteous tongue defiles. Let's read verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. All kinds of wickedness are in the tongue. And this tongue sits among our members, takes up residence in our body, and it defiles. That is, it makes us unclean. It makes others unclean. It contaminates, soils. Church, an unrighteous, undisciplined tongue defiles. And it defiles because it ignites ungodly passions. It instigates the flesh, and it urges us to sin. An unrighteous tongue defiles because it ignites ungodly passions. It instigates the flesh. And it urges us to sin. Have you ever talked yourself angry? Has that ever happened to anybody? You know, you weren't mad, but you were talking, either talking to yourself or talking to somebody else. And the more you talk, the angrier you got. See, the tongue, it defiles. Have you ever been talked into becoming angry when you were not? Remember how it used to be on the playground? Not so much anymore, but see, for those of us who are old enough, when we were coming up, you know, you were on the playground and somebody offended you, did something, and you said, that's all right, I'm okay. But your friend said, you gonna let him do that to you? You gonna let him say that to you? If I was you, I'd punch him in the face. Then you punch him in the face. If I was you, I would kick him. Then you kick him. See, the tongue defiles. It ignites ungodly passions. In other words, our tongue stirs up our emotions and the emotions of others. It instigates the flesh and it urges us to sin. Listen to Proverbs 10, verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. What that scripture is saying is that when there are many words, sin is unavoidable. When there are a lot of words flying, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his mouth is prudent. The tongue is a little organ that defiles. But it doesn't just defile us, it defiles others. Because with our tongue, we cause people to become bitter against others. See, there are people that you don't like right now, and you don't even know them. That's true. There are people that you can't, I just can't stand this person. You don't know them. Someone talked to you about them. And now you are bent all out of shape. Have you ever had a situation where you just dislike someone so much and then you got to know them? And then you said, I like you. We dislike people because of what is said to us. Amen. See, that's why there are cliques and strife and factions and division. Amen. On our job, Amen. In the church, Amen. Especially in the church. Amen. See, that mess is from the adversary. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is we pass it down to our children. Our children have strife, cliques, divisions, factions. Why? Because of what we say out of our mouth. Our children would know to not get along if we weren't running our mouth. See, church, an unrighteous use of the tongue defiles. I am being defiled and I'm defiling others when I participate in ungodly speech. See, that's why for those of us in here tonight who are married, that's why you need to stop saying negative things about your spouse to others. Amen. Amen. And definitely stop complaining to the opposite sex. Amen. 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 That work buddy. Amen. Stop talking about your wife. Stop talking about your husband to your work buddy. You are setting yourself up for a fall. Because first of all, we're not telling the truth. We don't tell the truth. We complain about our spouse to others, but we don't talk about our own trifling ways. Amen. Amen. She not this, she not that. But you not telling anyone that she's picking up your nasty, stinky drawers off the floor, cleaning up your dirty socks. We don't tell that. Amen. Or he's not this and he's not that. We don't say we've made life miserable for the man. See, we're not telling the truth. We are complaining and telling people things as if we are an angel. And I'm defiling the person who is listening. And now that person who doesn't know my spouse feels a certain kind of way about my spouse and is sympathetic toward me. And all of a sudden, that person is saying, you deserve better. You deserve me. See, I'm defiling someone else through my mouth. An unrighteous, undisciplined tongue defiles. It ignites ungodly passion. It instigates the flesh, and it urges us to sin. Then an unrighteous tongue, point number two, discourages. An unrighteous tongue defiles, and it discourages. What do we mean by discourage? Discourage means to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. To deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. It means to depress the spirit. to depress the spirit.